This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Lander.
Retired Army General Michael Flynn. Flynn pleaded guilty twice to lying to the FBI. The case was so flawed with partisan politics, nearly 3 years later, and it was still pending. In May, the Department of Justice dropped the case, and Judge Emmett Sullivan stalled doing anything about it. The pardon fulfills the DOJ's request to drop the case. A Pittsburgh judge Wednesday put a halt to Pennsylvania's vote certifications. Rudy Giuliani on Fox Business says the evidence shocked the judge.
They seemed shocked when we had an expert witness show that at the very beginning of the count, they infused 332,000 votes divided into the crappy Dominion machines, which, you know, are worthless. They were shocked that their vote gets sent overseas to be manipulated in Germany by a company that has connections to Venezuela.
The hearing is scheduled for Friday. USA Radio News.
If you or a loved one is a survivor of abuse by Boy Scouts of America representatives as far back as the 1970s, we urge you to speak up. We'll stand with you and get you the help and financial compensation you deserve. A jury in Portland, for example, awarded $18.5 million in punitive damages in one Boy Scout sexual abuse case. The Boy Scouts of America filed for bankruptcy, and funds have been set aside to compensate those injured. Time is limited, and so are the funds. Call today. Don't wait. For free information on how to file your claim, call All Survivors Advocates right now. We have a long track record in helping our clients get the legal justice and compensation they deserve. Please, we are ready to help you. Call today.
800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. That's 800-364-2984.
Colorado Governor Jared Polis is in quarantine after learning Wednesday he was exposed to someone who tested positive for coronavirus. The governor said he was tested Wednesday night with results coming back negative. Staying in Colorado, the mayor of Denver adds to COVID confusion. USA Radio News' Val Dior explains.
Denver Mayor Michael Hancock boarded a flight to Houston ahead of Thanksgiving despite his warnings that people should stay close to home and only spend the holiday with their own household. Hancock traveled to Houston Wednesday to visit his daughter in Mississippi. His wife is already there. About 30 minutes before the flight, Hancock tweeted to pass the potatoes, not COVID, and to avoid travel if you can. The mayor's spokesperson now says upon return, he will follow all necessary health and safety guidance and quarantine. The double standard among government officials leaves citizens scratching their heads. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo no longer plans to travel to see his elderly mother and two daughters for Thanksgiving after facing backlash for contradicting his own advice to stay away from loved ones. From the Texas USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Val Dior.
USA Radio News.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Former President Obama continues to divide Americans, this time attacking Hispanic Americans. USA Radio News' Tim Berg has more.
Former President Barack Obama took a dig at Hispanic Americans who voted for President Trump, saying they looked past what the president said and his immigration policies because they were aligned on social issues. Obama making the remarks in an interview with the radio program The Breakfast Club.
People were surprised about a lot of Hispanic folks who voted for Trump. But there's a lot of evangelical Hispanics who, you know, the fact that Trump says racist things about Mexicans or puts detainees, undocumented workers in cages, they think that's less important than the fact that, you know, he supports their views on, you know, gay marriage or abortion.
From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
The U.S. Supreme Court knocks down some of New York Governor Cuomo's COVID mandates.
New York won't be able to enforce a COVID-19 restriction on houses of worship after the Supreme Court issued an injunction late Wednesday. By a 5-4 vote, the court issued an opinion that called the coronavirus restrictions a violation of religious religious freedom because the orders singled out churches and synagogues, while businesses that were deemed essential were allowed to operate with few restrictions. The state of New York had tried to put 10 and 25 person occupancy limits on houses of worship, leading to the suit from the Catholic Diocese of Brooklyn and Agudath Israel. From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
For USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Fresh and independent. This is Bill Martinez.
Well, happy Thanksgiving, America. Great to have you with us, and it's great to have Bill Federer with us. We're going to talk, the history of Thanksgiving, what's going on in our country today, and why this Thanksgiving. I'll tell you, it is one for the ages, to say the least. Right, Bill?
It definitely is.
I mean, who would have thunk? I mean, on the heels of an election where they're still counting votes, we've got a president-elect kind of semi, not sure. But anyway, the transition is underway. I think that's positive in terms of, hey, we got to be prepared no matter what happens. And if the Trump legal team can come up with, a Hail Mary miracle, so to speak, well, then maybe things will be different. Otherwise, we're going to grandma's house. No food fights. Let's not even talk politics. Let's just enjoy one another if you can, right?
Right. Well, a lot of things is similar in a sense. So if you look at the beginning of the history of the Pilgrims, I wrote a book called The Treacherous World of the 16th Century and How the Pilgrims Escaped It. So I go into what was going on in Europe that caused the Pilgrims to want to come over in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the background is important. So Western Europe was Catholic, and then the Muslims were invading. They were surrounding Vienna, Austria in 1529, 100,000 of them under the Sultan Suleiman the Magnificent. For people that are not familiar, Islam conquered Egypt, which used to be Christian, North Africa, which used to be Christian. They conquered Spain, held it for 700 years. They conquered Syria, which used to be Christian. The name Christian was first used in Syria. And then they conquered what is today Turkey. Back then it was the Byzantine Christian Empire. So all seven churches mentioned in the book of Revelation were wiped out by Muslim Turks. They conquered Constantinople, 1453, cutting off the land routes to India. And that's when Columbus looked for a sea route. But finally, in 1529, 100,000 Muslims are surrounding Vienna. The Holy Roman Emperor, he's the king of Spain, but he has a double duty in that he's supposed to protect Christendom. He has a situation where he's got a double dilemma. Islamic invasion one side, this Reformation started in 1517 by Martin Luther on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
He tries to stop the invasion on his own, but finally he realizes he needs the Protestants' help. And so in 1555, he does a treaty. It's called the Peace of Augsburg, and it's the first treaty ever to officially recognize Protestants. And sort of begrudgingly, he does. And he lets every king decide what's going to be believed in his kingdom. Let's just work together against this Islamic invasion. It works, but then that treaty set off a domino effect across Europe where different kings believe different things. So northern Germany and Sweden were Lutherans, Switzerland Calvinist, Scotland Presbyterian, Holland Dutch Reformed, Italy, Spain, France, Austria, Poland Catholic, and England Anglican. And if you did not believe the way your king did, you were persecuted, you fled, and so
you could have lost your head if you were on the wrong side of the belief system, right?
Yeah, and sometimes they switch back and forth. But the situation in England, you had a Catholic king, Henry VIII, and he was married to the daughter of the King of Spain. And after 18 years, she does not have a son. He decides to divorce her. The Pope won't recognize the divorce. And so Henry decides he's going to make himself his own Pope. He starts the Church of England, puts himself on as the head, ends up having six wives, not at the same time. Mm-hmm. But his advisors tell him if he's serious about breaking from Rome, he needs to stop using that Latin Bible. Get himself an English Bible. Mm-hmm. The German princes have Martin Luther's German Bible. That helped them to break away. Henry VIII says, great, get me one. Well, it just so happens Henry VIII had William Tyndale killed and burned at the stake a few years earlier for translating the Bible into English. But now he wants an English Bible, so they take William Tyndale's work. Tyndale's last words were, Lord, open the King of England's eyes. Mm. But they take Tyndale's work, redo it. They call it the Great Bible. Henry has it put in every church in England. He dusts his hands, and he says, that's it. We broke from Rome. But something unexpected happened. People actually began to read it and began to compare what's in this Bible to this king divorcing and beheading his wives. Mm. And so a group starts that wants to purify the Church of England, and they are nicknamed the
Puritans.
Puritans. The king does not think he needs any purifying, so he persecutes the Puritans. There's another group that says, beyond hope of purifying, we are going to separate ourselves. And they would meet in secret barns and basements by candlelight, and they would have church. The king actually passed a conventicle act in 1664, with the word covenant, and it was referring to Jesus says, we're two or more gathered, I'm in the midst, and so it was these small group meetings. And so this conventicle act says, if you have five or more people meeting, even in your homes, and you're talking religion without approval of the government, you're all criminals, and they'll bust in and arrest you. They later called it the Riot Act, and so they would, you know, you'd have 12 people or so meeting in your home, maybe for Thanksgiving, and you're going to see it. And so the police would bust into your home and say, they'd pull out a piece of paper, and they would read the Riot Act, because they thought, well, you could be planning a riot. And so the Riot Act says you must all immediately disperse, or we will arrest you, put you in jail, and even kill you. It was so serious and severe that it went into our vernacular. Read them the Riot Act.
Yes, exactly.
Anyway, could you imagine the government actually limiting the number of people that you could have meet like that?
Well, and, let me think. 21st century, maybe New York, Governor Cuomo. What do you think? I don't know. I'm just some thoughts come to mind. That's all.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe, you know, California.
Yeah.
And so you have these pilgrim separatists. John Bunyan, who wrote Pilgrim's Progress, was arrested because he was at a meeting with more than a dozen people, and he spent 12 years in jail where he wrote Pilgrim's Progress.
Yeah, that's what happens when you have more people attending than a Biden campaign rally. You know, you're subject to arrest, I guess.
Yeah, and so anyway, so these pilgrims decide they're going to go to Holland. Holland was a big merchant empire. They had a navy, and they invented companies. During the Middle Ages, there were no companies. It was a sin of usury to pay or receive interest. So if you wanted to do something big, like underwrite, you know, going around the world to look for spices, you had to hit up a rich guy or a king to pay for it. Mm-hmm. Well, when the Reformation happened, Holland started some of the first companies called the Dutch East India Company. Anybody could invest in it. And if you wanted to sell your share, you would go down to something they invented called the Amsterdam Stock Exchange. And if the boat sank or was captured by pirates, well, they invented what's called insurance companies.
Yes.
And so the situation was that you had Holland was seven provinces, and it took an 80-year war of independence for Holland to break away from Spain. These seven provinces didn't always agree religiously, but they were willing to set aside their differences to fight against Spain. And so there was some give and take religious-wise in Holland, in the Netherlands. And so the pilgrims, the separatists in England, decide that they're going to flee. So some of these pilgrim separatists sell their property, go down to the city, go to the port, get on a boat, and right before the boat takes off, the captain robs them and turns them over to the police, and they're put in jail as being separatists, right? Agreeing with the King's Church. Mm. Another group of these separatists arranged for a Dutch ship to sail up the coast, and they would meet in little rowboats, and they would row out and get on.
Bill, we've got to pause for a second, go to break. We've got more from Bill Federer. Keep taking notes, okay? More from Bill after this. Stay with us.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com. When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Attention timeshare owners. This is an urgent consumer alert from the Timeshare Exit Hotline, a national company specializing in helping consumers legally get out of their expensive timeshare contracts. We're offering you a way to legally get rid of your timeshare. So if you're fed up with the maintenance fees that keep on coming and want to learn if you can terminate your timeshare legally and permanently, call today. Even if you've tried before and were unsuccessful in getting rid of your timeshare, call today and see if we can help. We offer a complete 100% unconditional client satisfaction guarantee. Make this completely free call and learn how we can help you legally put an end to your timeshare nightmare once and for all. You have nothing to lose, so call right now to qualify and receive a free consultation. 800-897-1434. 800-897-1434. That's 800-897-1434. Paid for by Airtime Media.
Here's Don Schenk with today's global update from the Tide Ministry, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ on the radio in 27 languages.
The Tide Ministry is partnering with Child Evangelism Fellowship to broadcast their Good News Club program into the Muslim and Arab countries of the Middle East. The goal is to capture the attention of children through televised puppet shows. The puppets engage in drama and animated conversations that cover the apologetics of Christianity and explain the truth about Jesus in their own language without attacking other faiths. This enables children throughout the Middle East to hear of God's love and learn the basics of the Christian faith in a format that engages their attention. Ultimately, the Tide Ministry and CEF hope to lead children into meaningful relationships with Christ and guide them to be witnesses in their communities.
To learn more about the Tide Global Radio Ministry and this initiative to help children throughout the Middle East learn the truth about Jesus, visit thetide.org. That's thetide.org.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
The America, Bill Martinez here, and the American Minute creator, nationally known speaker, best-selling author, and president of Amerisearch is here, and doing a little bit of a history lesson on this Thanksgiving morning. Great to have you with us. Bill, I'm going to let you pick up the story from where we left off. Go ahead.
Sure. So another group of these pilgrim separatists sell their products. property, and they arrange for a Dutch ship to come along the coast. Well, the pilgrims show up a day early, and they're waiting in a little, you know, creek by the river, by the ocean, and the boats are going up and down and up and down, and the kids are getting sick. And the wives say, can we just wait on the shore? And they said, sure. Well, the men wait. Finally, the Dutch ship shows up. The men row out there. They're putting all the stuff on there, and someone snitched. And the British soldiers come over the hill and arrest the women and children.
Huh.
And the Dutch captain says, I don't have any army that can fight. And he pulls anchor and sails away with the men.
Oh, wow.
And imagine these women on the shore seeing that boat getting smaller and smaller.
Exactly.
And for two years, they pass these women and children from one court in England to another in prisons and jails. Finally, a judge said, you really didn't do anything wrong. Go home. They go, duh, we sold our homes.
Right.
And so just to get them out of their hair, they put them on a boat, sent them over to Holland. They were reunited with their husbands. Happy ending to that chapter.
Yes.
But after 12 years, these pilgrims see their children basically assimilating and becoming Dutch. And they realize they're going to be a one-generation movement. They decide to flee again. They thought of going to Guyana, South America. They heard of the perpetual spring and warm weather. But then they heard about it being too close to Spain. Spain controlled the Caribbean, and the first settlement by Europeans in North America was Fort Caroline around Jacksonville, Florida. And they were French Protestants called Huguenots, and they were there for 3 years until Spain found out about them and killed all the men and took the women and children away. And so these pilgrims said, I don't think we want to be anywhere close to where Spain is. They called it the Spanish Main.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they decided to go to Jamestown. It was a king-run colony started about 14 years earlier, and they thought, well, it's still king-run. He's Anglican, but we'll be 3,000 miles away. We can sort of do our pilgrim thing and hopefully not be noticed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they go from Holland back to England, get on a boat. The boat leaks. They got to go back, recaulk it. It leaks again. They swap it for the Mayflower. Now they've wasted time and food. There's a 66-day journey. There's 102 of them. They're confined to a little between deck that's 4 feet high for 66 days.
You can't even stand up in something like
and
that.
And the ship is rocking back and forth because of the storms. One pilgrim, John Howland, goes topside to get some fresh air. He's washed off the deck. If it wasn't for the ship sideways and some of the ropes hanging in the water, he caught one of the ropes and they pulled him back in. He was blue, but he survived and has a whole lot of descendants in America. And, the storm is bad. It cracks the main mast. They actually have to get a screw, like, you know, when you're propping up the corner of a house.
Mm-hmm.
They put it under the main beam and put it back in place. They come to America, and they're in Massachusetts. They're 500 miles away from Jamestown. They try sailing down the coast, but it's so stormy. Off the coast of Cape Cod, it's really shallow for a long distance out. The sand goes out. They call it shoals or breakers. And the pilgrims get stuck, and the waves are crashing. They almost sink. The captain says, it's too dangerous to sail. Goes back to Plymouth Rock and says, off the boat. Well, the pilgrims have a question. Who's going to be in charge?
Right.
The whole world is ruled by kings and emperors and sultans, and there's no king-appointed person on their boat. They do something unique that we remember them for. They flipped it and made the people the government. It's called the Mayflower Compact. It says, we, in the presence of God, covenant ourselves into a civil body politic. These are church people creating a political government. Yeah, I thought they weren't supposed to be that, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, it says we covenant ourselves together to form a civil body politic. We agree to render due submission to the laws. It was revolutionary. Instead of top-down, ruled by kings, it's bottom-up, ruled by we. The difference between a dead pyramid and a living tree, where every root and every little capillary root sucks in nutrients to make the tree live. Every person needs to be involved in this bottom-up form of government.
Okay.
Right, they signed the Mayflower Compact, and that's why we remember the Mayflower Compact. Jamestown was started 14 years earlier, but it was a king-run colony. It was top-down. They did, you know, have a little bit of legislative stuff with the rich landowners meeting together to decide who's going to pay the governor's salary. But it was the pilgrims that had this covenant form of government that influenced the other New England colonies and eventually influenced the U.S. Constitution that we call, starts off, we the people.
Yep, exactly.
Anyway. So the pilgrims, a number of interesting things.
We got about 4.5 minutes left here, and you're giving us a great history lesson and setting this up to where we climax at the first Thanksgiving.
Yeah, so a little trivia. 1625, the Pilgrims had saved up 800 pounds of beaver skins to trade. They sent it back to England, and it was captured in the English Channel by Muslim pirates and taken to Morocco, and the crew was sold into slavery. So even the Pilgrims had to deal with Islamic terrorism. But the first winter, the Pilgrims land. Half of them die. The next spring, they don't know how they're going to continue to survive. Out of the woods comes an Indian that speaks to them in perfect English. His name is Squanto. So you know how the Pilgrims were religious? Well, a lot of the other Europeans were not. You had the Spanish looking for gold. You had the Dutch and the English and the French robbing the Spanish. So they were pirates like Sir Francis Drake and the Peg Leg, who was the one-legged French pirate that had Port St. Lucia Island as his base. And he had dozens of these pirate ships. And so what happened was some of these unscrupulous pirate types would sail up the coast of America, lure Indians on board, lock them below deck, take them to Spain, and sell them into slavery for a quick buck. And this is how Squanto must have gotten taken slave. And the story is that the monks in Malaga, Spain, made a big ruckus over how terrible it was that these natives were taken captive, and the monks got possession of Squanto, and they gave him his freedom. Squanto hitchhikes his way across Europe, gets to London. And he gets a job, and he's working in London, learning the language. You know, he's just living there for years. And then he finds a company in Newfoundland, and he gets a ship right over there, and it's a fishing, trading, fur trapping, whatever. Mm-hmm. Finally, he gets a company to drop him off in Massachusetts, 1619, finds the whole tribe is dead. A plague happened. What happened is a French ship had shipwrecked along the coast of Cape Cod. The Indians got ashore. And because the Indians didn't like these different Europeans, that William Bradford says the Indians never left watching them and dogging them until they got the advantage, killed them all but three or four. Anyway, some of them must have had an illness. Mm-hmm. The wiped out the Indian tribe. So the Pilgrims landed at this one spot that was not claimed by any tribe. And then Squanto, the next spring, comes out of the woods and says, "Oh, you guys from London? Yeah, I used to live there." Can you imagine the dismay on the Pilgrims' face?
Exactly.
"Oh, yeah, St. Paul's Chapel, Wharf Street. Oh, yeah, that pub down there, whatever street." You know?
Right.
And then the Squanto says, "Here, I grew up here. Over the hill, there's a spring." He teaches them how to catch beaver. It took 40 years worth of beaver skins to pay off their debt for their boat ride. He taught them how to catch fish. They said, "We tried fishing." He goes, "No, these are salmon. They spawn in a couple of weeks. This river will be packed." He taught them how to plant corn. They said, "We tried." He goes, "No, you take a fish, put it over the kernel of corn until it decomposes. It fertilizes the soil. You get a nice stalk." He taught them how to take the corn and put it in a pot and shake it over a fire and make popcorn. He taught him how to go down to the riverbank, squeegee in the mud, and catch eels. William Bradford says he was a special instrument sent of God for their
Amen.
Good beyond their
exactly.
expectation. He puts them on friendly terms with the natives as an interpreter. And so this is the setting for the first Thanksgiving. The Indians show up with a half dozen dressed deer. The Pilgrims have their pudding and cranberry sauce. And at the end of the day, the Pilgrims roll up in their blanket. And the next morning, they're still there. So they have Thanksgiving a second day. And the kids are doing, foot races and arm wrestling, and then the end of the day, they roll up in their blankets, and the next day, they're still there. And so, first Thanksgiving goes on for 3 days, and it was just a fascinating, fascinating story. It's all in this new book I put together called The Treacherous World of the 16th Century and How the Pilgrims Escaped It.
Well, there it is, and it's always good to go back to the roots of America and see where it all began and why we have so many reasons today, in this 21st century, so many years later, to be thankful, Bill Federer, and we're thankful for you. We're thankful that you are the historian, and that you come with all these stories and remind us these things. I know our audience was taking notes as fast as they could. This podcast will be available, too, after the show, so you can download it and share it with your friends and enjoy. Bill Federer, you are a gem and a treasure, and I thank you, sir, for your time. Happy Thanksgiving.
AmericanMinute.com is the website, and thank you for having me on.
Who needs a 15-year mortgage when you can get Network Capital's historically low 30-year fixed rate at 2.25% with an APR of 2.27%? You'll never have to refinance again. Network Capital is offering our lowest 30-year fixed rate ever, 2.25% with a 2.27% APR and with no origination fees or discount points. That's right, zero zip zilch. Network Capital has a reputation for saving people time and money with our efficient process that's fast, simple, and secure. Our 30-year fixed rate is 2.25% with a 2.27% APR. These are historically low rates. rates. So, refinance it and forget it. That's a 30-year fixed at 2.25% with a 2.27% APR. Call the experts at Network Capital Funding Corporation now. 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1-HIT. As in home run. Call now. 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1448. NMLS ID 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight and the Finance Lenders Law. Number 603-787. An equal opportunity lender. Rates subject to change and credit approval. Call 800-500-1-HIT for more information.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
President Trump on Wednesday granted a full pardon to his former National Security Advisor, retired Army General Michael Flynn. Flynn pleaded guilty twice to lying to the FBI. The case was so flawed with partisan politics, nearly 3 years later, and it was still pending. In May, the Department of Justice dropped the case, and Judge Emmett Sullivan stalled doing anything about it. The pardon fulfills the DOJ's request to drop the case. A Pittsburgh judge Wednesday put a halt to Pennsylvania's vote certifications. Rudy Giuliani on Fox Business says the evidence shocked the judge.
They seemed shocked when we had an expert witness show that at the very beginning of the count, they infused 332,000 votes to Biden into the crappy Dominion machines, which, you know, are worthless. They were shocked that their vote gets sent overseas to be manipulated in Germany by a company that has connections to Venezuela.
A hearing is scheduled for Friday. USA Radio News.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Thanksgiving, America. Great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. I am Bill Martinez, and the Prime Minister, Salih Hoodayar, joins us now. He is the Prime Minister of the East Turkestan government in exile and the founder of the East Turkestan National Awakening Movement. Prime Minister, welcome to the show. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Good to be on. Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving as well.
Well, Salih, I've been especially eager to talk to you about what it will look like for East Turkestan and the Uyghurs with a Joe Biden presidency. Help us understand what you are most concerned about and what you see happening here.
We are very concerned based on the newest, confirmation, you could say, of or appointments of various Obama-era officials into the proposed cabinet of the Biden administration. One of these is Anthony Blinken, who has been designated for, the position of the Secretary of State.
Right.
Back in 2015, right when China was, initiating its, genocide of Uyghurs and planning on, expanding these concentration camps or really starting to build these concentration camps, China claimed that it was part of its counterterrorism effort. And this is something that, Anthony Blinken, he actually supported China's so-called counterterrorism efforts, saying that it was, a good thing to do and that the U.S. would support them in that respect. So we are definitely concerned. And really, under the 8 years of the Obama administration, the U.S. government didn't even utter a single word to, speak out against China's, persecution and its brutal campaign against Uyghurs and the Turkic peoples in East Turkestan. And we fear that everything that the Trump administration has been doing under over the past 4 years to highlight our issue, to speak out against these atrocities, all these sanctions, these bills that have been passed through Congress, the trade tariffs that were imposed on China as part of this, it'll all be rolled back. And this will ultimately give China a further green light to exacerbate the already brutal genocide that it's carrying out against Uyghurs and other Turkic peoples.
Well, what we're hearing now, Prime Minister, is China is really, you know, putting themselves in a position. They're kind of beating their chest over this situation where Biden has supposedly been elected the 46th president. I know there are many that are saying that this is of China's doing, that a lot of money, a lot of influence involved in this election process, which is quite ironic after we had gone through 4 years of a Russian collusion and foreign influence. But it's interesting to see how quiet the mainstream media and, you know, TV networks are about anything that has to do with the Chinese involvement.
Yes, this is extremely disturbing, and there is actually quite a bit of evidence, you know, that the Chinese, at least on the information operations or information warfare capacity, has been, you know, promoting, Biden over President Trump. They definitely do not like President Trump. In fact, the, you know, Chinese state media has praised, you know, Biden saying that it's better for China and the world that Biden is elected. And if it's better for China, we should definitely be worried, because China is a regime, it's a country with a communist regime that is seeking to undermine, you know, basic international norms of human rights, democracy, and freedoms that, have been built over, you know, in the Western system over the past, you know, hundreds of years at a great cost.
Well, exactly. And it's not just about America. I mean, for all intent and purposes, it's like China is out to conquer the world. Or is that too simple? Am I putting it wrong?
No, it's actually they made it very clear that is intentional. That is their intention. I mean, in 2013, when Xi Jinping, you know, came to power, he made a grandiose speech in which he laid out the Belt and Road Initiative and achieving the Chinese dream. In one part of his speech, he said that, you know, the world will speak Chinese, and many people, you know, assumed that he was thinking, you know, that was just a figurative speech. But if you look at the action taken by the Chinese government over the past several years, over the past 7 years, they have been expanding, you know, Chinese influence in, you know, all parts of the world, whether it's in Europe, whether especially in neighboring countries like Central Asia, setting up schools, factories, moving in Chinese, workers, and then teaching, you know, the Chinese language in those schools. And we have such schools, you know, known as the Confucius Institute. Classrooms across the United States, where they are promoting Chinese culture and, in a way, Chinese language, which you might think is not a bad thing, but in a way they're preparing, you know, setting the stage for the future, you know, colonization or neo-colonization of the world, to where China becomes, as Xi vowed, to make, you know, the world's most powerful economic and military power.
Well, no doubt, Prime Minister. I mean, they've got Chinese interests here in America to keep an eye on the narrative, to protect their interests in much the same way the Muslims are doing and other interest groups. But the Chinese are quite the force because of the amount of money that's backing them, the inroads they have, not only in business, but dare I say, even in the United States government.
Yes, unfortunately, a lot of U.S. officials, whether it's current or former, many of them have actually had, you know, some type of dealings with China, which some include, you know, financial dealings. If we look at, you know, the Biden, you know, his son, Hunter mm-hmm. Biden, everyone knows this very well, was involved in a lot of shady, you know, business deals with Chinese companies that are linked, you know, to the Chinese Communist Party and the Chinese mm-hmm. government.
Well, you say a lot of people, but yet a lot of people didn't know because the mainstream media here in America didn't want to report on it. They tapped it down. In fact, a study post-election was that over 30% of the people said had they known about the Hunter Biden controversy, they may not have voted for Joe Biden. So, you know, the mainstream media ran interference on this whole scandal. And what we have known for quite a while, because Peter Schweitzer has reported on this quite extensively, is that Biden Inc. as a family has tentacles that go through China and around the world, and there's interest there that you think, okay, well, what Hillary Clinton wasn't able to do when she wasn't elected president, now Joe Biden will be able to do as president of the United States. So can you say corruption to a whole nother level?
Absolutely. I mean, just based on the many, you know, articles and videos that I've watched and read, you know, about, you know, Biden and, you know, his international dealings, you could say there's quite a bit of corruption, not just involving China, but other countries like Kazakhstan and, you know, other regimes that are not exactly democratic.
Exactly. Well, it's the old axiom. All you got to do is follow the money. We're talking with the Prime Minister of East Turkestan, the government in exile. Saleh Houdiar is our guest, and we've got more from Saleh after this. Stay with us.
This report is sponsored by Bank of America. 9 in 10 homebuyers are motivated to purchase their first home, while 4 in 5 say saving for a home is a priority, according to new homebuyer insights from Bank of America. This motivation is encouraging because homeownership can help families create a legacy and build long-term wealth, making it easier to achieve their life goals. However, many would-be buyers say that expensive home prices, high rent costs, and student loans impact their ability to save. A.J. Barkley, Senior Vice President, Neighborhood Lending at Bank of America.
We understand that becoming a homeowner can be as challenging as it is exciting. While many prospective homebuyers can afford monthly mortgage payments, saving for the upfront costs may make homeownership seem out of reach. We have low down payment mortgages as well as down payment grants and closing cost grants, which are helping eligible homebuyers break down these barriers so they can afford a home of their very own.
To learn more, visit www.bankofamerica.com/homeowner.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront, no hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Keeping the spirit of Don't Tread on Me alive. Bill Martinez, live.
We're back with you, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, Salih Hunyar, the Prime Minister of the East Turkestan government in exile, is with us. He is also the founder of the East Turkestan National Awakening Movement. And this movement, Salih, if you can break it down for our audience, help them understand what the East Turkestan National Awakening Movement is all about and how they can be a participant and help the cause here.
So the East Turkestan National Awakening Movement is a global movement dedicated to awakening the world to the truth about East Turkestan and what's happening. Our overall aim is, our long-term objective is to restore East Turkestan's independence and end China's decades-long campaign of colonization, genocide, and occupation in East Turkestan. We put out reports, we hold events to highlight our issue. We occasionally, lobby members of Congress to push certain bills to, push back against China. You can support us by visiting us on our website, nationalawakening.org. Anyone can help. They can volunteer. They can donate. They can, if there are students that would like to intern, we're always accepting interns.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's excellent. Now, explain also, so people understand, because we talk about the Uyghurs, and these are the East Turkestan people who are being oppressed. The things that are being done to them are unconscionable. I mean, to the point that we got organ harvesting going on. We've got incarceration. They say in some cases education camps. But it's more than that, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, the U.S. Department of Defense back in May of 2019 described it as concentration camps. The Chinese government, initially, they called it re-education camps or counter-extremism centers. However, they shifted to now calling it vocational training centers. But in reality, it's just concentration camps where over 3 million people, according to DOD and others, have been sent to become forcibly indoctrinated, politically. Mm-hmm. To worship the Chinese government and the Chinese Communist Party as the ultimate higher being, to denounce their religion. People in these camps are, undergoing forced starvation. They're being forcibly medicated with unknown substances, and leading to many of them, you know, dying from various diseases. The Chinese government is engaging in, you know, organ harvesting of these people. In fact, more recently, the Chinese government has, you know, announced that the, you know, organ transplant is going to be expanded across China in order to promote economic development. And where are these organs coming from? If you look at it, it's coming from, you know, the prisoners in these camps across East Turkestan. There are special lanes at airports in East Turkestan that pay for organ transplants only. But there are special lanes in airports, you know, just for transporting organs. You bet they are, you know, killing people and harvesting their organs. And that's why there's a rapid increase in the number of organ transplants across China in the past few years compared to, you know, before 2015 and so forth. Furthermore, you know, in Chinese culture, giving out their organs, you know, Chinese culture is, they, like, even if they die, they don't like giving out their organs. It's it's not part of their culture. It's, in fact, it's looked down upon. Like, they view their body as as part of all organs. You know, it's part of their body, and they don't like it being transferred to other people. So, which means they're killing Uyghurs, harvesting their organs, and sadly, they're even selling these organs, to wealthy buyers across the world, including, wealthy people from the Middle East, and selling it to them as halal organs, meaning that, you know, these are organs of Muslims who haven't drank alcohol, or eaten pork or engaged in anything that is sinful.
Mm-hmm. How can they back up that proclamation? I mean, yes, they're Uyghurs, and, you know, and they follow a Muslim culture, but even still, how can they certify that these organs are halal approved?
Well, so in their aspect, you know, it's unclear. They say that this is from Muslims, you know, practicing Muslims who haven't, and you don't know. You don't really know 100% if it is indeed 100% halal, as they claim it to be, or if it's just, the organs of Uyghurs, and they're like, oh, okay, they're Muslim, so therefore it must be halal.
Yeah, like, we can trust the communists, right? We should be able to trust. You see, and this is what people here in America and the West need to get their brain around, because it's hard for them to really understand how diabolical the communist Chinese are. Now, we're talking the government, not necessarily talking about the people, but it's the government themselves that look upon the people as their tools. Their property of the government. You have no individual standing, and they can do with you as they want, and especially if you're deemed, like the Uyghurs, to be less than and unacceptable. I mean, they probably think, well, you know, the Uyghurs are forcing them to put them in these camps and to, you know, provide and take care of them. And so whatever we're able to derive from them, including the harvesting of their organs, so what, right?
Exactly. I mean, the Chinese government has declared Uyghurs as enemies of the people and enemies of the state. So we are, like, China's number one enemies, and the Chinese public in itself, you know, because they are brainwashed by the Chinese Communist Party's propaganda, they unfortunately think that Uyghurs are just a bunch of barbaric people,
right,
that are uncivilized and that are less than, you know, human. And so it's okay if they die, or it's okay if we harvest their organs.
Well, of course, because Prime Minister, there. This is World War II Germany all over again, right? I mean, what we're
absolutely
seeing right now.
Absolutely, it's the new age Nazis. I mean, the Chinese are the Nazi Germany of today, in many aspects. You could say they're a bit more brutal, given the technological advancements. New tools, technological tools that were unforeseen in the time of the Nazis. For example, 36 million people DNA samples have been collected in East Turkestan. They are in China. Actually, their biowarfare strategy textbook hinted that, you know, China needs to, China now has the capability to wage genetic specific attacks against its enemies. And the biggest enemy of China, as they have already stated, enemies of the people and enemies of the state are the Uyghurs and other Turkic people.
Right. Well, and of course, America's got to be in the line there, too, because they're coming after us and they come after the world. And it's interesting, after what was released out of Wuhan, there's some people that still insist it was a wet market release. I can't follow that. I still think it was the Wuhan laboratory that Dr. Fauci was aware of. He participated in the building it. The building out of the Wuhan laboratory. They had an idea because he had, I think it was, you know, a little over a dozen of his officials there working in that lab, and they were there for 18 months and said, these guys are a bunch of cowboys. I mean, they're reckless. They're going to have a major accident here. And of course, the Chinese are rather quiet, whether it's an accident or, as one of their own virologists has said very flat out, that this was intentional, that this was something they did on purpose. If that's the case, you wonder, okay, first COVID, what next?
Absolutely. I mean, I personally think that it was intentional to crash the global market, more specifically to, you know, weaken the United States economically and to help strengthen China economically so that they can strengthen both politically and militarily and, you know, carry on with their agenda of becoming, you know, the world's largest political
power. Let me ask you this, Prime Minister. We get reports here in the West that China's got COVID under control. Do you think that really is the case?
In certain parts, it might be that they might have actually gotten it under control, because really under it was only in Wuhan where it really got spun out of control. The Chinese, they closed off internally months before, you know, the Western world even gotten any idea that this was going on. But they let those people in Wuhan, they didn't let them travel inside other cities in China. No, they let them travel all across the world. And that's ultimately how they spread this the coronavirus to the rest of the world. And then, you know, once, you know, countries like the United States and others started closing out their borders, you know, to Chinese citizens coming into the United States as a precaution, China accused them of, you know, being
xenophobic
and so forth. Yeah, xenophobic. When in reality, their own government, they are the ones who locked up the people in Wuhan and didn't even let them out anywhere inside China except, you know, letting them out overseas. So this is clearly calculated.
Saleh Hoodier has been our guest, the Prime Minister of East Turkestan Government in Exile. Saleh, where can they go for more information?
You can visit our website at www.east-turkestan.net, easturkestan.net, or follow us on Twitter and Facebook at etexilegov.
He's the Prime Minister of East Turkestan, Government in Exile, Saleh Hoodier. Saleh, happy Thanksgiving, and thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Likewise. Thank you. God bless.
It's not over. Sadly, our nation is going through tough times again, with no end in sight. And nobody knows what might happen next year. That's why it's a good idea to plan ahead, so you aren't caught off guard. Nothing's more important than having enough food to eat, and we're here to help. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leading emergency preparedness company. We provide long-term emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage. When grocery stores run empty or disasters strike, our foods will be there when you need it most. Act now and secure at least a 4-week emergency food kit full of tasty meals that provide 2,000 calories a day. We have dozens of emergency food storage kits to choose from. When the government tells you not to go out, you can have the peace of mind that comes from being prepared. When you order from MyPatriotSupply.com, your food will arrive discreetly at your doorstep in no time. Prepare today. Time is short. MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bukaboo.